Good morning. Hate to put a stop to some good visiting. Sounds good out there. Good to be back. I want to welcome you this morning. We had a good, safe trip, and we're welcomed by the hurricane when we got back. But from what I can tell, all of us were very fortunate. I don't know anybody that really, any of our church family had any significant damage, just a lot of cleaning up to do. So praise the Lord and thank Him for that. We were reminded of the forces of nature, wind and water. Wow. If you have a bulletin, I think pretty well all of the announcements are there. Let me recap them a little bit. Operation Christmas Child is winding down. Packing night is planned for Wednesday, November 18th, and we're still in need of a little bit of money. I think last I heard a couple $100 for shipping these boxes, and so if you can help with that, it'll be appreciated. Just mark your donation, Operation Christmas Child, and put it in an offering plate in the foyer, or get it to Miss Penny or Bethany, and it will be used for shipping. Let's see, several other things. Look like Baptist Women's World Day of Prayer. I was going to mention that is tomorrow. Good time for everybody to be praying anyway tomorrow, because, as you know, we have an election coming up on Tuesday, very important election. We need to pray for our country, pray for peace and quiet, regardless of which way the election goes. Also, something very timely is Southern Baptist Convention's emphasis on Disaster Relief Appreciation Day, November 8th. Well, we appreciate those people. Our utility companies, power and water systems have worked diligently, and we know how it is to be without those for a few days, and really appreciate those folks at work on that. They were out early this morning, I noticed. As you noticed already, time changed today. And so gave us a little extra time this morning, but our tummies will be ready for lunch before we get out here today, I've got a feeling. So that's about it. Any other announcements? Oh, one other important one. A save the date, the last one on your bulletin, is our 10th annual churchwide Thanksgiving dinner at the home of Sambo and Penny Alexander is scheduled for Sunday, November the 22nd. Mark that on your calendar. Churchwide, everybody invited to their house. Wonderful meal that they serve and real good fellowship there. Any other announcements?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
October is traditionally Pastor Appreciation Month, and frequently the way our schedule runs, we don't get it done.
Especially when the preacher was gone.
Yeah, I started to say. I took my appreciation.
Well, look at it this way. We enjoy Brother Ernie's sermons, but we appreciate y'all coming back.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'd like to present you.
Thank you.
With a little token of appreciation for your service here.
Appreciation for coming back. That's good.
Josh?
Yeah.
We appreciate your service as youth minister. We know it's a lot of work, and we appreciate what you do, and you volunteer to do other stuff along with it, and that helps the whole church. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Undeserved, but very much appreciated. Thank you. Call your attention to some prayer needs at this time. I thank Brother Ernie. Thank you him for being here the last 2 weeks, last two Sundays. I know you appreciated him sharing from the word from with you. And remember him and Charlotte. They are both in not good health, especially Charlotte. And so pray for them. Pray for Bobby Barnes. I think she continues to improve, but do pray for her. Others on our prayer list, printed prayer list, I'm not going to go through mentioning all of those. One that I do ask, would like to ask that you add, I didn't see it in our printed prayer list, I may have just missed it, and that is Gary Weast. He is my nephew, Weast, W-E-A-S-T, in Tennessee. He has lung cancer. It was in remission, but now it has reoccurred in his bones and all throughout his body, apparently, and so he's starting treatments again. Pray for him. Of course, my sister and brother-in-law are very grieved because of this. Gary Weast, one of my nephews up in Tennessee. Any others that you'd like to mention? Like I say, there's others here that, yes.
Courtney.
Courtney Hatton. Stewart. Multiple and just that sounds kind of like what's going on with Gary. Just a bad report, and just pray for her and the family. They've got several little kids. That's Todd Hatton's daughter. Todd Hatton's daughter. Yeah. Two little kids. Right. He did. I did not know. Jody O'Hara family. We'd been praying for Jody. He's had cancer, lung cancer also, was it not? And he has passed away, so pray for his family. Yeah, good to have Juanita back. Pray for Mr. Clark. He's here with us this morning, and he starts another round of treatments tomorrow. And he's saying he sure hopes this is the last round. It really affected him, but praise the Lord, he's hanging tough and crediting the Lord for strengthening him. Do lift him up this week as he goes through another round. It's every day, Monday through Friday, is that right? Yeah.
I want to thank everybody for praying for me.
All right. Thankfulness is well taken, Brother Clark, and it's been our pleasure to pray for you, and we will continue to do so. Unspoken requests, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for so many blessings. We thank you for answering our prayers again and again, and we thank you, Lord, that we are challenged again this morning with numerous needs, many critical. Lift them up to you, and we thank you, God, that you hear us and that you have all of the power to answer and to heal and to make well and sustain and comfort and all of these things. We depend upon you, as only you can deliver in a way that is needed and is necessary. Again, we thank you. We praise you. We bring these in the name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, Brother John, come and start us off with a call to worship, if you will. And we shall move on from there.
Hymn number 87, Fairest Lord Jesus, if you would join us in standing, and then remain standing for prayer. We're going to sing verses 1 and 4.
Here will I cherish.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come to worship you this morning. We commit this service unto you. And as we have sang, we come this morning before you through the person, our Savior, fairest Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege to meet with you and you coming to meet with us. Now, in Christ Jesus' name we pray and we bow before you in worship. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Be seated. Now, if you will turn to hymn 626, 626, the Lily of the Valley. I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows more. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. All the world forsake me and save and tempt me sore. I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. Oh, sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Now, the choir's going to sing "Because He Lives." This is a favorite of Liz Rowland. We're trying to do some songs along that are favorite of the folks who are stuck at home and able to hear the recordings. So now the choir is going to do "Because He Lives."
You have
They do a good job. Now, hymn 139, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We're going to sing this hymn, and after that, Brother Charlie comes with our message. 139.
Thank you, John, Nell, and choir. Good job on the music. That choir special, that's one of my favorite. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 18, Psalm 18, 20 through 29. One of the verses of today's text says, "To the faithful you show yourself faithful," and we just sang that. "Great is thy faithfulness." Psalm 18, 20 through 29. I struggled over the last several weeks and had at one point determined to leave the Psalms and go to something different. In fact, I had it all laid out and notes made, and then the first part of this week, It happened to dawn on me a truth that is revealed, that is given to us in this text that is very important. And so that said to me, get back over here in Psalms where you're at. So if you're tired of the Psalms, I apologize, but yet I don't apologize because I feel like I'm in the Lord's will continuing here. What the deal was, verse 20 through 24, I just could not imagine how David could have said these things. Knowing that the Holy Spirit of God inspired David to write this psalm, and also knowing by going back into the Old Testament records, the life of David. David had committed some very serious sins. And as you'll notice reading this text, he is talking about having clean hands and rewarded according to his righteousness. How can that be? Well, we'll address that in just a minute. I'll preach my sermon before I ever read the text. Let's look at this. Psalm 18, beginning with verse 20. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the way of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the poor you show yourself poor. But to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help me to say what you would have me to say and give us an understanding of these verses in a way that we might apply them to our lives and be real to us individually, personally, this morning. Give to you this text. Ask Heavenly Father that you would use it. In Christ's name, amen. Message I have entitled this morning, The Great Rewarder. The Great Rewarder. If you'll remember several weeks ago, the first 19 verses, I entitled that message, The Great Deliverer. And so after having showed himself as a great deliverer in those first 19 verses, now our Lord shows himself as a great rewarder. You notice that, I believe, as we read verse 20, the last part of verse 20, according to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. In the first part of verse 24, the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. Rewards is the subject here. And then in those last verses of the text, it speaks specifically of individual rewards, how he does reward us. Oh, the blessings of being a follower of Christ, of being a Christian, having been delivered from sin and its penalties. We have access to God Almighty, a holy God in heaven, and we have the assurance of one day joining Him in glory in our heavenly home there. Solely, absolutely by His grace, not of our own merit at all. Instead of suffering the wrath of God against sin, God, we are rewarded by His grace. Instead of facing and suffering His wrath. I think we take that too much for granted. We don't realize the blessing of that. The first four verses address two extremely important truths for every person. This is what I alluded to at the beginning. First and most important is that our Lord deals with us and rewards us according to our righteousness, and understanding that the only source of righteousness is the righteousness from God. We have no righteousness as human beings. No person is righteous on their own, no matter how good a life they might live. Righteousness is nothing before God. Romans 3:10 tells us there is no one righteous, no, not even one. Isaiah 64:6 says that the righteousness of man is as filthy rags. The very best that we can achieve in God's sight is like a pile of filthy, dirty rags. The only source of righteousness before God, in God's own eyes, is through faith in the blood of the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness from God. I'm going to read this text again in Romans chapter 3. And I remember I've read it many times since we've been looking at the Psalms, but I love to read it and love to understand its truth. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 21. But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood, period. The only way to stand righteous before God is through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is a righteousness from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The second important truth in this verse is the importance of having the Lord as Lord of our life. Look at verse 21, 22, and 23 again. For I have kept the way of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. All His laws are before me. I have not turned away from His decrees. I have been blameless before Him. I have kept myself from sin. That is because, He can say this, because His God is His Lord, the Lord of His life. That's a challenge to each one of us. First challenge is to accept that righteousness from God through faith in the blood of Christ. And the second challenge is to make Him Lord of our life. That is, it is Him who we serve. It is His will that we strive to do in everything we do. There's another text in the book of Romans that I want to share with you, and it's toward the end of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. You know, there's a Romans road to salvation. It tells us how to repent and how to become a Christian. And then the last follow-up text of that is in Romans chapter 12. What do we do when we receive salvation? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 says this: Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Notice a living sacrifice, that we serve Him sacrificially, holy and pleasing unto God. This is your spiritual act of worship to God. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a mind thing, a mental thing, that we consciously decide to make Him Lord of our lives and consciously decide and determine to act according to His will. Not to be conformed to the pattern of the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. There comes the key to happiness and purpose in life, when we make Him Lord of our life. After being delivered or being saved by God's grace through faith, this is our challenge, to make Him Lord, ourselves as living sacrifices. And if we sin, if we should find ourselves falling short, which we probably most likely will, 1 John 1:9 gives us a promise from God, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, thus making us righteous once again in God's sight. These two truths are what allowed David to write this psalm. He came to grips with that in his mind and in his heart. He could not stand righteous before God on his own. In fact, he was a very weak individual. Temptation overtook him on several occasions. These verses, those first four verses of today's text, did not describe the King David. They described the forgiven King David. When he had came before God and repented and God forgave him and removed all unrighteousness from him and restored his righteousness to him. And it's just an amazing thing to me when I wrap my mind around that. Here this man, mighty as he was, with this much authority and power, King David came to the realization in his life that God was rewarding him because of his righteousness. And that could take place not because of his own righteousness that he had earned, but because of the righteousness that had been imputed to him by a gracious God that he served. Now this psalm, at the beginning of the psalm, it says that the psalm was written after he had been delivered from the hand of Saul. Indeed, he was delivered from the hand of Saul, but I believe that he wrote this psalm later in years in life, toward the very end of his life, when he really came to terms and really began to understand from his past experiences what God had done for him. God had delivered him time and time and time again. Not only God had delivered him, but God had rewarded him again and again and again and again. I had a birthday, by the way, while I was gone. And the older I get, the more I can relate to what David is saying here. God has delivered me time and time and time and time again from situations and things that I can't blame anyone in the world for except myself. And God has rewarded me time and time and time again with rewards that I in no way deserved. But God, out of His goodness and His graciousness, has done that. He delivers and He rewards. And I think if you look into your life, even as a young person, no longer than you have lived, you have had situations where you cannot credit any other way except by God's grace you were delivered. Even your salvation and entrance into heaven is a deliverance, a gift from God. And He has rewarded some things you have lost. Loved ones are not with you anymore. But yet God rewards you. We're going to talk about that in these next verses. Verse 25 through 29 talks about these rewards, turning darkness into light. When we have a family member that is very close to us, and several of us here this morning, including our family, had the death of a family member that was very close to us. Those were dark times. But yet, by the grace and the mercy of God, darkness is turned to light. We actually come to the point where we can rejoice with them because they're now removed from and released from the burdens and the pains of this world and of this life into the glory of heaven, into the presence of God. And so, because of these two truths in those first four verses, now these verses describe the forgiven King David who had experienced the great deliverer and the great rewarder, God Almighty, the God of grace. Undeserved, unearned. Verse 25 through 29 tell us of some of the rewards that we experience. Verse 25 tells us, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. Our faithfulness is rewarded by the Lord's faithfulness to us. He will never leave us or forsake us, but He will be faithful to us. If we are unfaithful to Him, how can we expect Him to be faithful to us? And so we're challenged and need to be reminded always to be faithful to Him. And that faithfulness is rewarded by faithfulness from Him. Sometimes we're tempted not to be faithful. David was tempted not to be faithful, and indeed he was not faithful on some occasions. But he came to the realization that when he was faithful to God, God was faithful to him. He would deliver him, he'd take care of him, and not only that, he'd reward him. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. The last part of verse 25, to the blameless, you show yourself blameless. The Lord rewards blameless, the blameless. If we remain blameless, we are shown His blamelessness. Can you wrap your mind around a perfect, blameless God? It's who He is. If we remain blameless, we are shown His blamelessness. Perfect in every way. To be trusted. We can have faith and trust in Him. Because of His blamelessness, we can't blame Him for anything. Everything bad, everything painful or unpleasant that we experience is not from God. Yes, He's allowed it to happen, oft times to discipline us and bring us back into His perfect will. But it is all to be blamed on the serpent, on the devil, and our unfaithfulness, the unfaithfulness of man. The reason we experience many things that we experience that are unpleasant go back to the fall of man, to Adam and Eve and their sin, which should always challenge us and remind us that our sins are passed on, as the Bible says, to the third and the fourth generation. It doesn't stop with us. Those that come after us inherit the mistakes that we made. That's scary, but it's challenging. First part of verse 26, to the pure, you show yourself pure. This, verse 26 is an interesting verse. Go ahead and look at the whole verse. To the pure, you show yourself pure, but to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. To the pure, you show yourself pure. That's a challenge to all of us. Purity is something that is almost unheard of quality today. There's so much filth and filthiness around us, corruption and crookedness, which is addressed in that verse. And so we should be challenged. God had created everything pure and perfect. What has the human race done to it? Corrupted, literally every part of God's creation and made it filthy and vile, impure, nasty, dirty, filthy, things that God created in purity. We should have no part in corrupting that which God intended to be pure. And the Lord rewards crookedness with shrewdness. Crookedness is kind of an underhanded activity, isn't it? A crooked person connives to ways to cheat and take advantage of people and situations. We get a lot of these stupid phone calls these days telling us all kinds of things just for the purpose of maybe, and obviously they're successful because they keep coming, maybe somebody will fall for their scheme of crookedness. And what does the next part of that statement say? The pure show themselves pure, but to the crooked you show yourselves shrewd. God has shrewd ways to deal with the crooked. That kind of makes me happy. God has real shrewd ways of dealing with those who want to take advantage of us through crookedness. Bottom line is, in the end, they're not going to get by with it. They're going to be held responsible before Almighty God for their crookedness in a very shrewd way that only God could put together to catch them many times in their own trap of crookedness. The more I looked at that verse, to begin with, I'm saying, what in the world does that say? The more I look at it, the more I love it. Yeah, come on, God. Thank you. Take care of these rascals in a shrewd way. They don't even know what's coming. They'll never know what hit them. And hopefully after they've hit with it, they will submit to you and they will repent of their crookedness, of their sins, and accept your salvation that you have made available to them at a great price, the precious blood of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on, says, Lord, verse 27, to the pure you show. Oh, I already read that. Verse 27, you save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. The Lord rewards the humble by saving them. You can't be saved, you can't find salvation with a proud and a haughty heart. We must come in humility, and the Lord rewards humility by saving us. But our Lord rewards the haughty by bringing them low. We are in an election year, and we have a very important election coming up Tuesday. And one thing about politicians I have noticed, you don't find a whole lot of humility in the politicians. But you do find a good bit of haughtiness. And even in our elected officials, those who are holding office at the present time, it's amazing how they have been humbled. The Lord tends to do that. He rewards the humble, but he brings low the haughty. If we'll just hide and watch and pay attention, all these folks that are bragging on themselves and want you to vote for them Tuesday will be brought low in various and sundry ways. That's a hand of God doing that. And then verse 28, referred to that already. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. Our dark hours are turned into light because God turns darkness into light. Amen. Dark experiences in our life, and it also applies to His guidance and direction. When we don't know which way to go, when our next step, we don't know what to take because we can't see where it's going. There's darkness and uncertainty there. But we go to God and He shows us, turns that darkness into light. And He will lead us in the perfect way as He turns darkness into light. Our power went off this week for several days. Few of you were fortunate enough just to have a short period of time. I'm not too sure what that says, but ours was days and it was dark. And we were grabbing the flashlights, and we had picked up a card for Operation Christmas Child and to purchase some things, and we procrastinated. We put it off. One of those things is said to purchase some small flashlights for Operation Christmas Child. Let me tell you, there's not a flashlight to be found in Stone County right now. Everybody's wanting to turn darkness into light. And God is the ultimate lighter of darkness. We can kind of relate to that after the experiences of this week. In verse 29, with your help I can advance against a troop. With my God I can scale a wall. The Lord rewards by equipping us to advance against the opposition. We face a lot of oppositions. We face oppositions of health. We face oppositions of finances. We face oppositions of the wicked working against us. We face oppositions of a corrupt society. But with the Lord's help, we can advance against it all and scale the wall, a height, leap over those things, arise above all of those things. The Lord reminds us, rewards us by equipping us to do that. The great rewarder, wrapping things up, the great rewarder is our God, the God of grace. And again, the psalm is concluded. Let's read verse 46 and verse 49. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. In verse 49, therefore I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praise to your name. Where would we be without him? I failed to read a psalm, selections out of the psalm, which records David's prayer of repentance and begging for forgiveness. And so let me just share with you a few of the verses out of Psalm 51. And some of these verses toward the end directly affect what is written and what is said in these last two verses that we read. Verse 49, therefore I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. In David's prayer of repentance, that prayer included these words, save me from blood guiltness, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Isn't that what we just read that he did in the closing verses of Psalm 18? It is. But listen to the example that David gives us and is recorded in Psalm 51. And this is after his sin of adultery with a lady by the name of Bathsheba. and the premeditated murder of her husband for the sole purpose that he, King David, might have his wife as his own? And how can he say, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands? I don't see a whole lot of clean hands and righteousness in what he did back then. But there's something else between what he did back then and what he is saying here in Psalm 18. And this is what took place. This is what happened. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassions, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You can almost sense the tears in his eyes and the brokenness of his heart as he goes to God. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face, God, from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. No wonder King David could write the words of Psalm 18, 20 through 29. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words written by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit from your heart to ours through a man, your servant David, who had experienced some of the lowest times, darkest times that could be experienced in a human being, let alone child of God. But yet he had been lifted up and restored and rewarded. God, how we thank you for that. The fact that it delivers us from the guilt of sin. If we, as the example of David was, come to you with a repentant, broken heart, with genuine tears of repentance before you, begging forgiveness. And indeed you do. Reward us and restore us. Make dirty, bloody hands clean as you did David's. And a dirty, filthy, corrupt heart, pure, white as snow, once again. God, we thank you that you are a God that delights in doing just exactly those things. When we come in repentance to you, help us never to forget your goodness and your graciousness. And it is in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way that we can approach you in prayer and thanksgiving, even in this time of worship. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Please stand with me. Brother John has a closing hymn for us to sing. And if you have a decision that you'd like to make public this morning, please come while we sing just a verse or two. What's that hymn, John?
491. 491.
spiritual gifts. So I invite you to join us at 6 o'clock tonight. Let's go to our homes